This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, happy new year. Welcome along to the first golf podcast of 2014. It's a pleasure to have you with us. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grennan with you to preview the Hyundai Tournament of Champions in Kapalua, Hawaii for the 2014 opener. First of all, good morning to Mr. Mike Grennan. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you, David, and a happy new year to all you and all our listeners.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back stuck in, Mike. We've got the Hyundai Tournament of Champions this week, winners from the 2013 PGA Tour season. And, Mike, this is always a fun start to the year because I assume it's a fun start for the players as well because they can wield the driver on almost every hole. It's a golf course that's a wide-open venue, Kapalua. And even though players with distance off the tee certainly seem to have an advantage, that's not always a decisive advantage. It's a good test at Kapalua.
I'm not absolutely sure it's any advantage at all, Dave, the driving distance. I think it's there's not a massive need for accuracy off the tee, so players who are a bit wayward get away with it here, don't they? I think, personally, my view is it's the guys who get their approaches near to the hole to give themselves putting opportunities, and then how well they put. Because it's usually a pretty low score that wins this event. And, you know, I know Dustin Johnson won here last year, but Steve Stricker and Jonathan Bird won the 2 years before, and they're not big hitters. So I do think it's what you do on those massive greens, how, you know, it's all right hitting the greens, but you've got to give yourself a chance, and then you've got to put the lights out.
What do you think are the key attributes then here? You talked about scrambling, Mike. I've gone for a guy that scrambles well and puts well. As I've only got one selection in the event, Mike, and I've gone for a guy that scrambles and puts well.
Yeah, I'm much the same as that, Dave. I think wedge play in your approaches. Bear in mind, if you're hitting nice wedges in close, you don't need to worry about scrambling so much. But yes, it is important to be able to scramble without any question. And putting, I think, is very, very important here. I think you've really got to put well here. So I'm not so much worried about driving distance, driving accuracy, both of those. Obviously, it helps if you can hit it longer. That makes your irons easier to play in. But, I think putting and wedge play stroke scrambling game are the key, yeah, I think.
Conditions are always a factor here as well, Mike. If you have strong trade winds, it's important that players control their ball flight. Having looked at the forecast, it might not be as big a factor as it was last year. Remember, last year's event was reduced to 54 holes with Dustin Johnson winning the title. He arrived early last year, Dustin Johnson, and he's arrived early again to prepare for his title defence. It will be windy, but it might not be as windy as last year.
Yeah, that's about the usual thing at Kapalua, which gives it that little bit. I mean, a little bit of wind makes it a little bit more interesting, doesn't it, Dave? A bit more of a challenge. Otherwise, it's a fairly straightforward contest for the players.
Do you think experience is important?
Yes, I do. Albeit I've gone for players who haven't got much experience here. I do think it helps when you see someone like Stuart Appleby winning here three times. In the past, and other players have been repeat winners, and there aren't many first-time winners, but there are some. I think Sergio Garcia probably won on his first outing here, I think. What do you think? I think experience does help here, albeit my selections have not followed that particular rule.
Yeah, I think experience helps, but I think the market's overreacted, personally, to the guys that have experience, and I think a debutant can win here, a guy that's a fast learner. And I've gone for, my only pick is a debutant at the event this year, who I think is slightly overpriced. As far as the market is concerned here at Hills, Adam Scott is the 11-2 favourite. Dustin Johnson and Matt Kuchar and Webb Simpson all 8-1. Zach Johnson is 12-1. Brant Snedeker 14s. Harris English 18-1. And it's 20-1 and bigger the rest. We have a 30-man field. There are a couple of notable absentees, with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods choosing not to take up their invitation. There are actually a number this year, a number of debutants that I like in the market, Mike. I'm looking forward to the event, and I think a couple of these debutants could go really well this week.
I hope so, Dave. As I say, my headline pick is actually a debutant, a little bit of a speculative tip. But no, I'm with you on that. I think there's some very strong players at the top of the market who have played well here and are top players, but whether there's a lot of value around their prices or not is debatable. So I've had a look elsewhere, and I expect you to pick Jordan Spieth, I suppose.
he's my only selection in the event. I'm becoming all too predictable.
Tell us why.
I thought 20-1 was a fair price. I think we'll see him by the end of the season performing to a similar standard of those ahead of him in the betting. I'm almost most convinced that will happen. I think he'll take advantage of the par fives. He's a superb putter. He does everything well, Jordan Spieth. He ranked third in the all-around on tour last season and third in scrambling, something that we've already highlighted as an area of a player's game that's going to be important this week. You'll have to scramble well around here to score well. Superb wedge player, Jordan Spieth, as well. I think the scrambling's going to be critical, and he scrambled so well last year. And let's not forget, he was number one in tour in terms of top tens last season, and there were a lot of those golf courses last season that he was seeing for the first time. He's seeing Kapalua for the first time. He's a player that can adapt quickly, Jordan Spieth. He'll take advantage of those par fives, and I think he's at 20-1. He was the guy that I thought was to coin the term that I hate, value in the betting. He was the one that I thought was overpriced slightly.
What do you hear about the term value in betting?
Because everyone uses it, and it's just it's a term that it's in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? I suppose. People will see value in different ways, won't they, and see value in different players. He's a player that I like, and I thought 20-1 was fair.
Okay. Well, I've gone for someone who I think is a 50-1 shot as my headline pick. Russell Henley is my pick, Dave.
Yeah.
Hasn't been in spectacular form, in truth. A miscut in the Shriners and a couple of moderate performances in the CIMB and the McGladrey. But did win in Hawaii last year, albeit in the Sony Open, not this event, but has a win on the island to his name. Was top 10, ninth in fact, in the strokes gained putting start last year. So this rookie was top 10 for putting on courses that he'd never played before, let's not forget. He had that disadvantage, as all rookies do, against the rest of the field, yet still was able to finish very, very high. A very good putter. When he's playing well, very good with his irons. I just think a refocus, a start of the year, I'm hoping, will give him a little bit of a fillip to kick on and start 2014 as he started 2013. He does need to up his game a little bit, but at 50-1, I just thought he was, for the potential he has, for the fact that he's won in Hawaii, the fact that he can put so well, 50-1 in a 30-man field just struck me as a very interesting each-way option. I understand that he may not. We all have to. If you back him, you have to realise his current form hasn't been brilliant. So there is an element of risk. But at the end of the tournament, if he won this, people will look back and say, how is he 50-1, given that he'd won here last year? So that's the kind of guy I like to look for.
Yeah, I had him marked down. I almost went with Russell Henley. I actually had him marked down as an in-play option, Mike, because he's not had a top 25 in his last 13 starts, and I think it's a good point you make. If his focus is back at the start of this season, having won in Hawaii at the start of last year, I just had him down as an in-play prospect. If he starts well, I'd be looking to the all-elusive Twitter bet might come into play. I'd be looking to jump on Russell Henley if he starts well this week.
No, I know it's a very fair call, that, David, a very fair call, because you're right, his top 25s have dropped off the cliff slightly in the last few events. So, but there have been, I think he finished 27th in the BMW or won a tournament in the playoffs season. You know, so he's not, it's slightly misleading that, but at the same time, there's no question that he's not been at the height of his powers. So yeah, there is a risk. Anyone who would keep a bit back, see how he starts, because it is a tournament where, you know, obviously, like most ones, if you can start well, it doesn't harm. I wouldn't knock you on that. I think it was actually the Bridgestone he was 27th in. I was just checking there as I spoke. But, that's not a bad ploy at all, Dave. I hear what you're saying.
I've done my only selection. I get the feeling you've got another one, Mike?
I've got one more, mate. A guy who has only played here the once, so the experience factor that we talked about hasn't influenced my selections very much. But I'm going to go for a guy who I think is going to have a very big year this year. I hope so, anyway. Jonas Blixt is my second pick. Blixt was 18th here on his debut last year, where he putted pretty well. I think he was around about the top 10 for putting. Has been in really solid form at the back end of the 2013 season, including a fourth in the USPGA and a good finish in the Dubai event. He's 12th, I think, in the Dubai World Championship. This is a guy who really can put well. He was second in the strokes gained putting stats for the whole season of 2012, second, which is tells you how good he is. And he's also a decent scrambler. He was top 25 up for scrambling last year on tour. I say last year, the 2013 season. So I'm expecting a big year from Blixt. I'm very hopeful that he might get in the Ryder Cup team, actually, Dave. I think he's someone to consider. I think he might play a bit more in Europe this year, as we said on our end-of-year review. But I just think he's got a lot of ability. This kind of course, where there's no fears of accuracy off the tee, will play to his strengths. And he won't be frightened to knock a few in the hole. He's a very good putter. So what price is he now?
He's 40-1.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable price for Jonas Blixt. Again, these guys are each way options against some pretty strong favourites, in truth.
Yeah, we mentioned on Twitter, not recording this podcast earlier on in the week, it's a good job because Russell Henley was 40-1, wasn't he, early on in the week when this market first formed. He has drifted in line with the market now at 50-1.
He has, yes, he has. And Jonas Blixt is around about where he's always been in the market. But I think the guys are going to give us a run for our money.
And you mentioned that end-of-season review. You can still check that out. If you go to williamhill.com/podcast and click on golf, you can hear me and Mike reviewing last season and looking forward to the majors this season as well.
Some people have described it as iconic. But anyway, we've picked all four major winners, haven't we, Dave? And people should really listen.
Between us. We've got a couple each, haven't we?
Let's hope so.
As far as the top of the market is concerned, Mike, let's go through some of the guys at the head of the market. Adam Scott's the 11-2 favourite. He must have a huge chance.
He's not in bad form, is he? Andy has a second to his name at the course. It would be no surprise to anyone if Adam Scott won here. But just the price, Dave, I can, given that there are other good favourites as well, I can let him go myself. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd have him as he is clear favourite in the market, and I think that's right. I thought the top four in the market, Scott, Dustin Johnson, Matt Kuchar and Webb Simpson, they all look so solid, don't they, Mike? Dustin Johnson has followed the same pattern as last season in terms of arriving early at Kapalua to prepare. Golf course clearly suits him. He putted superbly in the main last season, comes here on the back of a win, albeit 6 or 7 weeks ago now. So Dustin Johnson's credentials there for all to see. Matt Kuchar, a guy that you really like, Mike, finished the season incredibly well, and he has three top tens here also.
Yeah, three consecutive top tens, Dave, and three consecutive top tens in his last three outings. So he's going to be very hard to keep out of the places. But one criticism you could have of Matt is that he doesn't maybe win as often as he should.
Yeah.
So I like to back him at bigger prices, I have to say, rather than at something at 8-1. If I was picking one of the four, Dave, I don't know which one of the four you would go for, but Kuchar would probably be my number two. But my number one would be Webb Simpson, who I must admit I thought long and hard about putting Webb Simpson up this week, but decided to go for a little bit of value, Dave, as you like to say. Simpson has got a win to his name in this 2014 season already. 2013 brackets 14 season, and a top 10, and was third here on his first outing the year before last. He also started pretty well, if I remember, here last year. Didn't he? Wasn't there a... He started well and then there was a lot of disturbance in the tournament, so didn't quite get to finish off as he might have liked. But still 11th. I just think Simpson's putting really well at the moment, and he's a very good player when he's on form. And he was having a little bit of 10-1 earlier this week, maybe. That might have been tempting. Of the four, he's the one that catches my eye a little bit, I have to say.
Honourable mentions then, Mike. I've got one in particular, Chris Kirk. I thought he was interesting at a bigger price, but his price has contracted markedly throughout the week, and he's down at 22-1 now. There's no way he should be within 2 points of Jordan Spieth, in my opinion.
No, I mean, Kirk did me a favour at the back end of last season, but he's been very well supported and tipped in the last few days by people, understandably at the prices when he was around double carpet 33-1, but he's not that price anymore. He does have a top 10 here in his only outing, and he's obviously coming off the back of a win and the birth of his son as well. But it wasn't very long ago. I think it was only about the 20th of December his first child was born, so I think that might be more of a disruption than a help than a motivation. Wouldn't be surprised to see him play well, but not the price you'd be looking for at the moment, I don't think.
It does set up well for him, doesn't it? Because he plays Coastal Golf Course as well, now a multiple winner on tour, and he's a strong wedge player. So it does set up well for Chris Kirk. And as you've mentioned on previous podcasts when picking Chris Kirk, he likes it when the scoring's low.
Definitely, Dave. Took the words out of my mouth, to be honest. I was just about to say he's a guy who does well in tournaments where low scoring is the order of the day, and that will be the order of the week here in Kapalua. So yeah, he is. He can definitely go low. But to be fair, I like Henley for that reason. I think he's a guy who can go low, and Blix hopefully as well. So yeah, Chris Kirk is a really solid chance. Gary Woodland was on my mind, Dave. You won't be surprised to hear, but I'm not sure his putting's quite good enough for this event. He'll blitz it down the course. He'll have to put well this week to feature, but I expect a big year for Gary Woodland. I really do.
Only one start here as well, Mike, and he finished 24th on his debut here back in 2012, which it might not matter that much in the context of the event, but it's enough to put you off at 25-1, isn't it?
It is really, dear, because you look on the face of it, top 25 finish. But then when you consider there are only 30 players or thereabouts, it puts in perspective somewhat. So, I think Woodland will have a great year. This might be a nice pipe opener for him.
Any others worthy of mention?
No others for me, dear, but one I thought you might have at least mentioned was Martin Laird.
Yeah, I looked at Martin. I just don't know if Martin Laird didn't finish the season particularly strongly. He's in the betting, Martin Laird, at 22-1. I just don't think he's near Spieth in terms of class, really.
No, I think that's fair, Dave. He has got these last two outings here have been a fourth and a second, haven't they? I think that's probably why he's so short. But no, in terms of ability, you'd have to say Spieth looks a better player.
I might be made to eat my words at the end of the season after Spieth performs dismally, but to have the most top tens in a season on your rookie year on tour, or what was virtually his rookie year on tour, I think it's incredible, and I'm expecting big things, and I think this golf course will suit him as well. Do you want to recap your picks then, Mike?
Yeah, but one other player that I should mention there, but again, not a massive price. Brant Snedeker could be suited. He's a very good putter, isn't he, at his best, and he was third here last year. But again, the price is nothing to get excited about. But yeah, I'll recap my two bets, Dave. I'll have a point win, half a point place on both of them, actually. Russell Henley at 50-1 and Jonas Blixt at 40-1.
And I'll have a point each way on my pick as well. Jordan Spieth at 20-1. As far as our compiler is concerned, Mark had said, the two he's keeping under the market this week are Chris Kirk and Harris English. He says victories for both at the end of the year, and they are both well up on the scrambling and approach statistics as well. So he's using those two stats as key factors this week, which is, I think, is something we've referenced earlier on in the podcast.
Indeed.
And Mike, it would be remiss not to mention Rory McIlroy's news as well. He's got engaged to Caroline Wozniacki on New Year's Eve. And the size of this diamond that he's bought Caroline Wozniacki, it's the biggest thing I've ever seen. It's like the Rock of Gibraltar on her ring finger now, Mike. But good news for McIlroy.
Well, he'll have to, if he's spending a bit of money, he'll have to go and earn some cash, kid. Sure, yeah. Mind you, that, having said that, I don't think he'll have got it on the never-never, do you?
Precisely. Do you think the diamond maker will get a plug somewhere along the way?
They might do. I'm just, I'm going to refer our listeners to our review of last year for our views on Mako. We have quite a long conversation about his 2014, don't we, Dave? Mm. So let's not give away any secrets, but yeah, let's see. Yeah, we think it's going to be a very interesting year for McIlroy, don't we?
We do indeed. Thanks, Mike. I look forward to catching up with you soon. And thanks to everyone for listening to the Golf Podcast. Remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes as well. And you can check us out on Audioboo. Just type in William Hill Golf Podcast and you can access the podcast on Audioboo as well. Pleasure speaking to you, Mike.
Don't let them forget our Twitter handles, Dave, at D. Kellner and at M. Grenham. Did you mention that?
I didn't mention that. It's a new year, Mike. You've caught me already.
If you're thinking of having an in-play bet on Twitter, Dave, the punters need to know.
let's try and start this new year as we mean to go on, Mike, and get some Twitter bets out. At D. Kellner and at M. Grenham to follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening to the Golf Podcast. Thanks, Mike.
Cheers, Dave.
We'll speak soon.